Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Welcome everybody to the Tommy, Hector and Lorena podcast, and we have returned to our spiritual home, the source, the fountain of all our chat. We are back together, reunited. And I got a lovely hug off the two of you.
Reunited, cousin.
I got a hug.
Fáilte ar ais.
There's a lot of changes made in the hen house since we left. The lamp is gone.
Someone stole the lamp, yeah.
We're relying on the light.
Well, yeah. The good thing is the heating has remained on in the building as when we were here. The caretaker came in and did the great. There was a caretaker in Skulmer in Nam called Dykey Wallace, and he drove an old Volkswagen Beetle, a green one, and Dykey fixed every pipe in Dykey Wallace.
Couldn't call him that nowadays. Now that's really sexist.
come here to me.
So Hector arrived back from Eastern Europe yesterday. You've physically landed.
My mind.
But has your soul caught up with you?
We were so freaked out getting a PCR in Transylvania.
One, two, three.
Come here to me, you beautiful young woman, till I look at the side of your neck, you snow-covered woman. Like, we were in Transylvania 36 hours ago, and then we had to stop for a PCR on the way back to Bucharest. The pressure, I was there to Roscoe getting out of the van. I said, Roscoe, for fuck's sake, what happens if we have it again? Have I got a head cold?
Actually, can't get, it's not you. It's the third cog. It's Evan you'd be worried about.
Evan seems to take it all in his stride. Me and Roscoe were going, was that a sneeze? Have I sore throat? We were paranoid, so we went in. It was the most beautiful PCR we've ever had.
But you haven't had any positives, even though, you know, they say that you can get
positives. You can get it again.
But you didn't run into that situation.
We didn't do an antigen.
Thankfully, imagine.
But the pressure when you're waiting for those 6 hours from a Romanian test, and it came in the hotel in Bucharest, we went to get a couple of cans and because everything is curfew.
Pure class. You can take the man out of Navan, but you can't take Navan out of the man.
Couple of cans while we're waiting.
Send him off to fucking one of the most cosmopolitan cities in Eastern Europe.
And they're having cans.
Too many cans.
Roscoe, they've no harp.
Here, they were probably first
and bugs.
We'll get six. Fucking get 12. So there's a curfew in Bucharest at the
bringing
moment.
Back a bottle of Baileys for the missus then from duty free.
Two Toblerones. There's a curfew in Bucharest at 9 o'clock. So every single thing closes at 9 o'clock in the evening. There's no messing around. There's none of this easing off of it. It's done. So we went to the off license at 10 to 9, and then we went up to Roscoe's room.
Sake.
Hang on a second, Tommy.
Did you have cans at the top table for your wedding, did you?
Yeah.
But you were not all in the Europa Hotel going, what's his name?
Jasper, send me up another Middleton.
We're out of that bottle.
Get me another one for tomorrow. Have you any green spot?
Tommy, we're in fucking Eastern Europe. And there's a curfew.
Cans of what? What is it called?
I don't know. Schleichen. Something very strong.
20% beer.
Blow the head off you. So we sat in Roscoe's room. And
just sitting around the room too.
Did you not even sit in the reception area?
Like, for fuck's sake.
You're doing a fucking.
Why didn't you just sit out the back of the hotel on the fucking wall?
Theatrical adaptation to Shameless.
Shameless. Setting a hotel in Bucharest.
Fucking. Have you seen Romanian Shameless?
Why didn't you just sit outside the front
Shameless
door?
Dimitar, you bollocks.
It's like an episode of Alvida Zen Pesh. Fighting their fucking cacks, drinking cats.
In one of the most beautiful architecture. They're fucking, it's such a magnificent.
He'll go out with him now the next night and he'll want to sit up in the hotel room drinking cans.
No, it gets better. I bought a speaker in Dublin Airport.
Oh my God, this is getting worse. He's a speaker as well.
Did you put together a playlist?
Fucking hell. In the bedroom. Oh my God, Hector, please. Fucking
David Guetta.
I bought a little Marshall speaker.
Right? Oh no, please.
It's Marshall. It looks like an amp.
Yes, so, I know what they look like.
I took it out. It was the only time I took it out on the fucking tour because we were so
in
cold.
In the bedroom. Oh, listen.
Drinking cans.
Three lads sitting around.
Do you know what we ended up doing?
Like 17 year olds.
We ended up
to
listen to the best of the Fury Brothers and Damien.
Ah, wait.
And Roscoe will give us the great feelings of France. After about six cans, we were all there with our eyes closed. I say, Lord, worried you down. After the bats play the last waltz, a chorus.
Oh, my Lord, you've lost the
on the shores of Gallipoli. And we knew we were going home. And so then, bang, in comes the emails at 10 o'clock. 6 hours, they said, all in the room together.
And
we
cracked out another few cans,
around,
did you?
Around. You have to bring in a pass, pin code, and then it goes negative, negative. And then Roscoe's pinged in, negative. Evan's pinged in and says, we are going home. Next minute, Storm Barra wrecks havoc in Ireland. We were going, oh my God, we're going to fly out of here. But luckily, we flew down to Istanbul, an incredible airport. It's one of the great airports of the world. And it's so funny getting on that flight because it's, all right, Hector, how are you? All right, Hector. Then this woman come up to me and she pushed me on the shoulder. She goes, you got a lovely hair transplant there, Hector.
Oh.
Because she's heard of the podcast. Yeah, yeah. And there's women with broken noses look like they've been in the front line of a scrum. And there's people. It's so
they're going over for plastic surgery.
Coming back was this.
That Istanbul flight is full and more people getting prosthetic jobs done. And
yeah. I can imagine you went to see the King of the Gypsies.
Oh, for the love of God. So mad last couple of days. Romania, when you leave Bucharest, is like, you remember Borat, where Borat filmed the first?
Yes.
It's like going back in time, and there's a lot of angst and pissed off people and bitter people in Borat filmed his original movie when he was reared in
Kazakhstan.
Yes, yeah. But it was filmed about 50 miles outside of Bucharest in a small remote village. Nobody speaks English. People are all dressed in traditional gear. They're all Roma gypsies. And there are different pockets of this. And then we drove, it was a two-pronged attack. I was going to meet the king of the Roma gypsies, Dorian. And then that morning I was going to go to a Roma street in a Roma town. And that was, it looks like the Amish from a distance. They all wear the black hats. Their faces are all grey. And the women are all in these multicoloured shawls. And in this one street, there was 850 from the same family living in the most amazing fucking houses that you've. It was like being in Malibu or Beverly Hills.
So are they the...
The ostentatious showing off of designs of houses is incredible. And the streets of no tarmac are nothing. This is like, it's like a hall. How do I put it? I don't know how to put
it's
this.
It's just bleak.
It's
basically
bleak, but the houses are bling. And
some
of them aren't finished. Most of them aren't finished. They love building massive houses. And half of them aren't finished. Like there's balconies with cement hanging off. And you've never seen anything like the size of their houses. We met a guy called Trian, who was the guy there.
You're very good at the names.
And the way you're giving Dorian that pronunciation. Yeah.
Well, I have been in Eastern Europe for... And the Romanian language is fucking beautiful. Makyama, Hector. Makyama, Hector. My name is Hector. Makyama. Sunt Irlandes. I'm Irish. Kefach. Kefach, how are you? So that's Romanian. But then the Roma gypsies have their own language.
So tell us about the gypsies. Kefach, I'm interested.
Kefach, Tommy.
The Roman gypsies that we know here in Ireland, what are they the same?
Yeah, there's 30,000 Roma gypsies in Ireland. There's 7 million of them around the world. There's an awful lot of them in America. A huge amount of them in the UK. And the king of the Roma gypsies is
what kind of a house does he live in?
He lives in the White Palace in Sibuya, which is like,
see, like the leader of
a 45 bedroom White Palace, white Escalade cars, everything. And the lineage has been passed down to him. And when he walks the streets or when there's a funeral, his brother died a couple of years ago and they're throwing money on the streets to him and everything. It's just,
but what does he
tribal,
do like?
Tribal.
What does he do?
He is the patriarchal head, like the Aga Khan. Now, there's an interesting guy, the Aga Khan in France. It's like his world. It's like a monarchy. It's like a monarchy. That's exactly what he is. He's a monarchy for the Roma people all over the world. I met a guy called Trian who
came. He was praying at Mass. We met him on last Sunday, and he said he couldn't meet till 12:15. And as we were waiting for him, coming down this mud-covered street with these massive houses that you've never seen, they look like temples, and they have all zinc roofs.
Because it's like if Miami was in Tuam.
It's like the start of Miami Vice going up Gilmartin Road. The roofs on these buildings, because they're all coppersmiths and silversmiths, like old tinkers.
Right.
That's what they're skilled at. They love copper. Copper is their gold.
All right, so.
That's what they do.
They like and the copper.
They build these fucking amazing roofs, like pagoda style, in Japanese style, multi-ream. I've pictures to show you. It's just fucking
Do they build it themselves now, or do they hire people? No. I wonder
Roman
who,
gypsy builders.
What?
Roman gypsy builders, like, maybe.
Say it again slowly.
Is that in your
Roman gypsy builders.
Roma gypsy builders.
Yeah. Roma. They might have their own builders.
How are you keeping?
Yeah.
Roma, yeah. They
might specialise in that kind of building.
They are mad.
Was it the Romans in England who were keeping the fellas as slaves?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? There was some kind of...
There was a load of them living in...
Yeah, there was a kind of a thing in England where... Now, I don't want to be casting asparagus upon the Roma people, but it was some kind of tribe of people, and they had slaves. Were they Irish travellers?
I think
travelers?
They were Irish.
I think they were Irish travellers.
When was this?
This was about 3 or 4 years ago, and they got done...
Yeah, at least 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. They got done for... They had slaves.
They had slaves, yeah.
They had slaves, and they were getting the slaves to do all the work. Yeah. They kept them.
They were in a massive like compound as such.
Yeah, penitentiary.
Yeah, penitentiary.
Was that on a documentary on Panorama?
No, it was on the fucking news.
It was all over the news.
Look at that.
They were taking them out for days.
So the structures, these amazing houses that they look, but they've all got big hoarding and gates outside. You can't really see because it's half finished. They look amazing. But then when you step inside, it's a fucking building site. And it's like going back into the third world. They build these humongous fucking structures that aren't finished.
And are they interreligious?
I went inside to one of the houses. I went inside. It was the most basic 4 rooms with 2 sort of old small couches and a stove in the corner. And that was it. And there's no decoration.
Even though they have the big
the walls
building.
Aren't plastered. There's no lights.
So what's the point of that?
Because
of
they like It's the show of it.
Yeah.
And I said to Trianne, when did you start building this? He said, 2007. I said, when will it be finished? He goes, who knows? When I get some money, I don't know. I said, how many lives here? 3 families live in this. 3 families. His 2 sons live in it. So what they do is they build these massive houses where 3 to 4 families can live in it. They look massive, but they're not finished. They're like, you know when you go to see a house that's nearly done and you go, come on out, we'll see it now. And we're only at second fixing and we're after getting the blocks up.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Unplastered
floors. On the outside it's fully finished.
No, not finished on the outside.
Oh, it looks not even painted.
No. They like building with bricks. They're construction people, but all of them and their skills is copper. So as we walked down this street, there were women coming out of all angles going, yeah, come on, give a hand. They were speaking, what's the camera for? And your mum's telling them we're Irish TV. And then at one stage, 5 or 6 girls came out from a house, all Roma girls, all dressed in the traditional gear, and they walked towards me. And then Trianne said, I said...
Pick one for wife.
Trianne said to me, Hector...
Pick two for wife.
So he said, I said, how do you say hello in Roma? And it's something like Itaha Mahala or something. It's completely different. So I turned around and I say hello and their eyes all lit up. And then I went, what's your name? And she goes, Maria. And I said, what's your name? Maria. What's your name? Maria. What's your name? Maria. And there was a little girl there. What's your name, little girl? Maria. What's your name? The baby. Maria. Roma gypsies only call they're only using the name Maria. And next minute.
What?
All these lads come out. They look like Amish. They have all the black hats in them, and they used to come out. They come out of their houses with copper, beautiful frying pans, copper pots, distillery things to make your own hooch, cups, saucers. The most beautiful crafted copper. As we walked, men were coming out of the house. Old grandfathers with wheelbarrows full of copper pots and the most heaviest, beautiful old-style frying pans. And then distilleries, miniature distilleries with pipes going out where you can make your own plum brandy and plum bar. All trying to sell them. And I said, what's happening here? And he says, this is the way we make money. We love copper. Mm. We are coppersmiths. And the man's trying to sell them. I said, and what's your name? Nikolai. And what's your name? Nikolai. And what's your name? Nikolai. And what's that little boy's name? Nikolai. Nikolai and Maria are the names
Everyone's
of the majority.
Name.
90% of the Roma people are either a Maria or a Nikolai. fucking madness. And they look like Amish with the long beards, the black hat down. But this man...
There was an old thing years ago now about travellers in England, I think. And they would all have the same name. So if one of them got into trouble with the guards...
All right.
There was no way of tracking.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. I was wondering what's that about, though?
More. Yeah. Interesting.
There's a thing with the Irish travellers, with some of the Irish travellers, where they feel that the settled people and settled society are not on their side, and the settled community will never provide for them. So they always see themselves as outsiders. So no matter what's happening, there are some traveller people who just go, I cannot trust in any way the settled community to look after me.
Mm.
And so therefore I must take any steps necessary to protect myself. And if that means that me and my brothers and my cousins all have the same name in case we get into trouble, then fucking so be it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is it the same going on with the Roma, where they're kind of going, we can't trust the settled people of Romania to look after us. So we did you get a sense that they were outsiders?
Yeah.
Saw themselves as
yes.
You had the television cameras.
So I asked him, how do you feel? How did you feel growing up as a Roma boy in this town? He goes, round here, everyone accepts that this is a Roma area. And he goes, and he had a beautiful smile, and we spent about 3 hours talking to him, and he brought me on an amazing journey that we didn't think we were going to get. Roscoe was loving it because at every part of the picture there was images coming out. I'd be talking to him, and then five other men with beards and hats and pots and everything would come over and stand right in the middle of the camera, strike up a cigarette and just stand there blathering away in their language. You know, it's just, we were buzzing, and we know when we're buzzing in a place like that, it's like being with a tribe in southern Ethiopia. We know we're getting great images. And then he said, I went to America. I went to California, South Beach. We had family there. And he said, I hated America. I hated it. I only gave it 3 months. I hated America. Too noisy, too much people. I wanted to be home in my land. So they are a travelling people. A lot of them but they're very skillful with their hands. But it's amazing his angle that he just didn't like it. Didn't like America.
And do you think they're treated better in Romania than they would say if they were outside?
Absolutely. They're accepted in Romania. Okay, yeah. But they're accepted in certain... They bond together in Romania. Having said that, a lot of them have emigrated. But then he takes out his camera and he goes on Facebook Live in the middle of the interview. And the Facebook Live popped from all over the world, from Roma gypsies in Sydney, Roma gypsies in Dublin, Roma gypsies in Berlin, Roma gypsies in California. As he was talking, his Facebook Live, he was talking away, telling what he's doing.
Yeah.
It was their community. And we stood in his sitting room. And it's not unfinished floor, unfinished walls, big, big old stove in the corner. And they put out some chocolate bread or something like that. The couch had an old rug on it, and it was an unfinished house. It was cold. And I said, can I meet your family? So the wife comes out and I said, tell me about when you met your wife. Tell me about marriages for the Roma people. And he goes, my father arranged my marriage when I was 13 years of age. My father had decided who I married. He brought a little girl into the house one day. He says, that's your wife. He got married at 14. The wife was 15. Then he said, how was that for your son? And I said, what did you think the first time you saw your wife? And he started laughing. He goes, oh, very happy, very happy. And I was trying to get that banter out of them. And then he said, how was it picking for your son? And then he introduced me to the son and introduced to the wife. And two beautiful children came out, little five-year-old and a six-year-old boy and a girl. And the whole world of arranged marriages.
Oh, yeah.
The father chooses.
And was his kids the same age as him when he got married?
Yeah, he... But,
14 as well now.
His wife, crack, Hector, to choose wives for the kids.
For your son now, who's 12.
I'd love that. I would love just to say the young fella now, he's 13.
13. Yeah.
Come on into town, we get a wife.
Come into town now.
Where are we going?
I did in the car.
That's right, it. Driving round.
Into
right,
Supermax
son.
Or somewhere.
You give him the choice of what secondary school we could pull into. Salerno, Taylor's Hill, Monaghisha,
or
Endes.
Yeah. See that one coming here now. What do you think of her? Over, come here.
No, you wouldn't ask him what you think. You just pluck her in, would you?
You choose a family that you want to be connected to.
Isn't it? It happens in many, many countries, and it happens in the Roma.
I suppose you don't have to think about falling in love, and you don't have to think about whether you'll kind of... this person is right for me, and this person
interest
is,
in each other.
Yeah, you just kind of marriage counselling. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And tell me,
choose a fucking.
What age were they when they started having kids then?
Young.
Like 16, young.
They
15?
Have certain rules, David. I don't know. I didn't ask him when the first babies came, but the young lad looked about 20 and he had a 6-year-old.
So they'd be going at each other fairly rapid.
he looked 20 and he had a 6-year-old.
Yeah, you can make up your own mind there. And
all right, son, I'm going to choose a wife for you. Now
don't turn off that Xbox. Yeah, you're better off going up to the room.
I have a new Xbox for you.
Now, right, okay, where's anyone seen John? John hasn't come up there. He's getting run upstairs there. They're going off for an early night.
The two of them are 14.
Pound married. Living on the second floor in the house.
She's the young one is waiting for her junior cert results and the fucking pregnancy test results in the same fucking week.
So,
and do they have that? Like, do they have their own laws?
They have their own laws and have their own council. They call it subi or something. When something happens in the community, the council come together to sort it out. But the feeling, and then I saw his hands. His hands were all beaten and bruised and stuff from working. Copper. The way he spoke about copper, I swear to God, it was his gold. They buy it in massive 50-kilo tables, sheets, big thin sheets like this, and they weave it and they manipulate it and they make the most amazing stuff. And
I was talking to a traveller fella, I'd say late teens, early 20s, at the foot of Croagh-Patrick. Just that thing of the council and they have their own laws and stuff like that. And he wouldn't tell me what the thing he'd done was, but his thing was he had to climb Croagh-Patrick 6 times up and down in the one day, and that was his
penance.
Wow, that's his penance.
Yeah, that was the wherever he said that he had done, that was whether he had taken upon himself to do that or whether he was told. That was the kind of the.
It'll be interesting when you see this, because the way I want and the listeners, because when you see this guy's face, you'll see a man who has worked since he was 7 years of age. And the tradition of coppersmiths, the tinsmith with the Irish tinker and the silversmith, is long gone. Long gone. Those traditions of a tinker going around the country, fixing the buckets and being a silversmith and helping the farmers in rural areas, gone. The tradition is so strong within the Roma people. All they want to do is build stuff, construct stuff and work with that metal. And he said that every single boy in the village and every single young Roma boy learns at 7 or 10 and 12, and it takes years and years of craftsmanship, and it's passed on and it's so strong, and that's the way they continue. They are coppersmiths. They'll work with copper and the way they speak about copper. And then he said, I said, are you a holy man? What religion?
Trinkets, like was he covered in the Virgin Mary or?
He didn't know. They don't like the
Catholic. They're not
no,
Catholics.
They show off with the houses. They don't show off. There was no rings. He was dressed very greys and blacks, warm, woolly jumper. But the hat was incredible. It looks like an Amish hat, and they all the men of the village wear it. And the boy, when he turns 13, is given his first black hat. It's like something you'd see in a movie in the 17th. It's like the Amish. That's the only way I can describe it. But then I said, "What do you like praying?" He says, "Yes, today was a great day. I'm Orthodox, but I'm Pentecostal, and religion is a massive part." I said, "How often do you go to mass?" He goes 4 or 5 times a week. Even during the interview, old cars were arriving. They were after coming back from mass, and 4 lads will be getting out with the hats on, and they're all with the black sort of military sort of old coats on them. And it was just an amazing.
Was it cold?
It was cold. It was 0 degrees minus one. And as we were talking on the camera, lads would go by with a donkey in a cart and full of manure on the back, and then another lad would come back full of big logs on the back of the arson cart. Like it was like, it's like you can't.
You're sure you weren't in Mayo?
Fuck off.
I'm just asking him, and maybe he got confused with all the travelling.
He could have been in Belmullet.
Could have been in Belmullet.
How dare you?
Eris Begg.
He absolutely
could have been a fair day in Belmullet.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
No, that's a fair question.
Yeah, 50 years ago, yeah,
no,
maybe.
Hang on a second.
That's fine, yeah, move on.
But the arse and carrots and the boys, and you know that these two young lads who are coming with this cock of hay or manure on the back, or especially a lad that
and
is...
And are they farming people?
They have farms, but they burn wood all the time.
I think you fucking, I don't think you've been anywhere. I think you fell asleep in front of the telly watching Bracken. I don't think you've fucking been anywhere.
Nice. Are you Bracken?
I think you've eaten half a pound of fucking hash cakes and you're there.
No, and I'm back in 1981 in Ireland.
He's watching Ryark, a fucking documentary about joining the European Union.
What was the farm day? It was a brilliant day. Then Roscoe put up the drone to get a picture of the houses. I cannot explain to you.
When, so excuse me, when does the show broadcast?
It won't be broadcast until the autumn of next year, but an amazing journey.
And do you have another road trip to do?
We have later in the new year. We'll be going up towards Poland, Latvia, Lithuania. So the Balkans are done now.
Wow.
I'm so happy I've seen the Balkans. Mad that I got COVID in the Balkans. But to come from Istanbul into Bulgaria, cross into Serbia, the feeling I'm getting, and then Bucharest, Ceaușescu, and then even to go to the countryside. Like, it's an interesting trip. It's hard fucking slog because we're lifting the bags in and out of fucking the fucking bus, and Roscoe's giving out, and it's fucking minus two, and it's fucking hard, and the roads are like shit.
And did you ever think, like you've been doing it for 400 years now, did you ever think, can we spend a bit more money just on production? Do you ever think to yourself,
no,
like, can we hire there's someone else van to carry things or
no,
get a nicer car?
No, because then we can't
stay in a nicer hotel.
No, because then we can't lie in a hotel in Bucharest listening to
drinking
the Fury
cans.
The drinking cans, because we'll hear Paul the sound. Paul, are you okay? Sake. Do you want another can? Shut your mouth, get out. We can't. There's a man.
Do you reckon David Attenborough and the fucking cameraman are off looking at gorillas in the fucking
drinking cans
in the jungle, and then David goes back to the fucking the salmon weir youth hostel and he's drinking. And he's drinking cans with the fucking lads.
Or Michael Palin.
Listening
Michael
to Pentagon.
Michael Palin could do Michael Palin could do a lovely job at the old railway station in Cairo, and it's beautiful. And I rang a friend of mine called Ralph Sakes to find out when the next boat was to Botswana. And then he goes back to the fucking thing with a bottle
to
of
an Airbnb.
A bottle of book pass to the Airbnb. No, it is hard going. It's hard going in winter, but there's no point. We want the rural Romania is not easy to get. I mean, dirt tracks, when you leave Bucharest, it's hardcore. It is going back in time. But if you want to go back in time to get the good stories, you know, Jim.
And it increases your empathy.
Oh, man. Oh, Tommy.
It enlarges your heart.
Yes, because I don't know where it's filling. It's filling a magic wardrobe I have in the back of my mind. That's
a trencha infinita.
We know about that wardrobe.
The infinite wardrobe about the gay lad trapped in the closet.
He wasn't gay.
You said
his wife was fucking in the house. They were about to get married and fucking Franco's boys comes in. So he hides in the fucking inside the walls.
Tommy, could you not have just pretended you watched it for fuck's sake?
Did you watch it?
I didn't get around to it.
I swear you're getting so fucking
lazy.
Didn't
he use a spoon to make the tunnel?
No, well, you know, it's not the Shawshank.
Alcatraz.
That's the fucking Shawshank. If you want, these are only sneers because I know out there somebody has watched La Trinchera Infinita. But
I've cancelled all my subscriptions.
You can't watch anything.
And look, what's gone?
No watch.
The watch is gone. The watch is gone.
You know what? We'll have to start buying you DVDs now or something, will we?
For what?
So you can watch.
I'd like to plonk you back in a village in Romania.
He's already there.
He is half fucking. Look at him. It's just gone fucking madness.
He's back in the 80s, probably. Yeah. Early 80s.
It's good. Now, you're making interesting choices in terms of your jumpers these days, Loretta. There's a bit of fucking Fargo
Mountain
meets...
Alaska. Fairbanks.
Fargo meets Primark.
There's a bit of a log cutter in there. It's a bit of an Alaskan bush.
Getting
people
into the winter.
How would you describe it now to people who can't see it?
It's sort of like a stylish winter knit. Is how I would describe it.
Oh, very good, yeah. And what colour is it? It's kind of brown, is it?
It's brown with a kind of a cream.
Grizzly Adams
going
on there. Grizzly
it's
Adams.
It's sort of something you'd see maybe up in Alaska on a cold day,
yes,
out chopping timber or chopping,
yes,
wood. It's broken.
And did you find it or buy it?
Actually, Audrey chose it for me.
Very, it's, there's a.
I like it.
I would have no confidence now in that area of clothes. But you have, and you wear it well, Larissa.
Well, I mean, I don't know what element of clothes you've got confidence in, but you have a diverse range.
Hang on, I'm fucking look at this.
So, I mean, that's rich.
The jeans are on.
It's rich getting styled criticisms from you, like.
These aren't criticisms. I think it's...
Queries.
I think it's brave choice.
You're wearing two scarves. Tommy, two scarves. Why are you wearing
Rudyard
two scarves?
Kipling. I always say it's Rudyard Kipling.
Honestly, he's fucking... I'm surprised he comes out of the house at all. Why are you wearing two scarves?
I'm wearing two scarves because
You're not getting enough heat in the first one.
No, because... Just to explain to people.
Cashmere, and a little linen.
Oh, it's hand-mitten by Louise Mulcahy from...
Yes, it
Skibbereen.
Is. It's handmade by a German family
out
in
Lisbon. Fucking Furbo.
Look at it.
No, the reason I'm wearing two scarves is because I came down here to tidy up the hen house for you.
Sweating.
And there was a scarf here, and I said, "Well, I need to take that scarf out of here."
What the fuck? You're like 40 coats.
So
like.
I threw it around my neck just to.
Well,
make
Loretta, if you ever get to Belgrade or Bucharest, the shopping is magnificent.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, I did get some
and
more
I,
winter
and
knits.
I can see the lovely winter months encroaching on your style.
Yes.
I think it's really, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Nice.
Yes, winter knits. Tommy.
Now I got a letter in. Give me your glasses. Because these are the young lads. This young lad wrote a letter to us.
A young lad. When you say young now, what age is he?
We always fucking
is he nine?
We always say the youth of the country are fucking this.
But what age is he?
Right.
Now can does just it now, say now, aged? Now. Having had experience of you reading
them. Stuff did you practice before?
Have you read it? So you know what's ahead of you.
Yeah, I don't like scripts, Tommy.
I wouldn't have the confidence to read that.
I like engaging in it.
I know, but sometimes the
did you highlight a few lines?
The words get the better of you.
Okay. So
that happens to me when I'm dealing with death notes.
This is a young lad called Cronan McLaughlin.
Two surnames for a play. From.
Cronan McLaughlin. And I love this.
And did he say you could use his name?
Yeah.
Like, isn't
he will be, because he wants me to write back to him. And I get a couple of these letters every year from young
class
lads.
What class is he in?
He's in Abbey Carton National School in Elphin. No, Tommy, listen to this.
I didn't think this was suitable
because these
for children.
Are the fucking, and don't say it's like fucking radar.
I didn't think this podcast was suitable for children.
The school around the corner's just the same. Even though the kids, they play a different game. Da-da-da, 3 years apart. Sure, we're still the same at heart. Cause the school around the corner.
Now, how is a young fella in... This is getting dodgy. Me after watching a primetime fucking documentary last night about a fella going off to fucking Vietnam for his holiday on his own. Come here to me. Why are you reading
Hector.
A letter from a young fella?
Yeah,
because
Hector.
I get letters from people from all
the
over the
place. Fuck are you, Jimmy Savile?
Hector, if any other children would like to write to Hector, please do.
No, listen.
Send it to Hector.
He's a young lad.
So National School Children of the Country, Hector Clare Galway will get him.
And we'll do a school around the corner section here. Go on.
Shut your mouth, the two of you. Shut the gobs. I get letters from young lads all the time.
What are you talking about? Why do you get letters?
Oh, shut up, Louise.
Oh, it's because you're Irish.
No, they ask me questions and they do projects. Ah. It's a school project.
Right, go ahead. And thanks for involving me and telling me.
And loads of national school kids write to me because they're doing a project and I write back to them.
Because it's Irish,
because,
is it?
No, because they're in fifth or sixth class and the teacher's asked them to write to somebody famous or somebody in the public eye, and I get loads of them and I sit down at the kitchen
table.
That's because you're inappropriate for children's
ears. I get letters from 10, 11, 12 year olds.
And do you ever write? Do you write back to them all?
Of course, I answer
every one of them.
Yes, most of them, yeah. And this is
What about the ones that you don't write back to? That's a bit unfair.
Stop being so fucking negative and listen to the letter.
If you write back to most of them, but
I
not
get
all
loads
of them.
Letters from lads and girls in national school.
Go ahead then.
And they're fucking great young kids, and this is great.
And it's from all around the country.
Yeah. Did you never get one of these?
Oh, please, no. Yeah,
people are afraid of you, Tommy.
No, you're going to get loads.
Dear Hector,
it serves me well.
So this is a great young man, and these are the future kids.
How old is he?
I haven't a clue.
He's in fifth class.
He's in fifth or sixth.
So he'd be about 11.
Dear Hector, a great writing. Conas at all too. Ain't crack. I hope you're keeping well. My name is Cronan McLaughlin. I'm 12. I'm in sixth class from Elphin. It's a little town in Roscommon.
Yeah.
I'm writing to you because I think you are a horrid crack and you've achieved so much in your life so far. My dad loves your podcast with Tommy and Aria. While cutting the football pitch on Friday, he always listens to it on the headphones. I admire you because you've done so much travelling around the world. Can I ask you some questions?
Yes.
You have travelled so much around the world. So what country is the most crack in your opinion? What country is the most crack in your opinion? I would say it is Ethiopia or Brazil. What is your favourite country that you have travelled to and one you wish to go back to? I would say Canada, Brazil, Ethiopia. Vietnam, Cambodia. When you were going to the different countries, do you have any dramatic moments on the aeroplane?
Go on, Hector. We're all ears.
Yeah, we got off a plane in Bolivia. It was, the altitude was so bad. Roscoe started puking before he got his bag, and then I had a headache. And when you land at altitude in a city really high, it's really, really bad. That was dramatic. Also coming into Dublin Airport yesterday was dramatic enough. We also took off from Perth and the electrical storm hit the plane and the lights went out for about a minute on the plane, and it was really, really bad. And I turned to Roscoe and I said, if this is it, this is it, let's have a gin and tonic.
Well, that's not appropriate for a 6-year-old.
What is it like being in your best friend's class and having a podcast with him now? Answer.
It's really good. It's good crack, yeah.
That's why they're not writing to Tommy. Who is the most... That's why, Tommy, no interest.
Go on.
Who is the most inspirational person you've met on your travels? Most inspirational person I've met in my travels would be everyone I meet in my travels. The most interesting people and inspirational people are the ordinary people I meet in the street surviving on a dollar a day. How is the club football going? And then he goes, I would like to thank you for reading my letter. Write me back to me. My dad absolutely loves you. Goramila Mogat, y tomala al mano. Which means all the
good
best.
Good man yourself.
Cronin McLaughlin.
He's got all his languages.
The kids are going to be okay. You'll win nothing with the kids. Fuck that shit. These kids
Stop
are going to be
Stop using bad language. Cronin will be still listening.
You'll win nothing with the kids. The kids are all right. And these young kids coming through in our country, we have to celebrate them and say these mighty young men coming through. And well done to the teacher in Abbey Carton National School.
Is that a reply now?
Why did... he write in Spanish at the end?
I don't know.
He must be practicing it.
Tomala Almano. He's done a little bit of
research.
Maybe
you taught him how to say it.
I just like the way he writes, and I like the way he sounds, and I think these are great young lads coming through, and great kids, you know, great. And I really appreciate when I get a letter like that. And I'm going
to answer. Anyone else that wants to send him any letters?
No, I get a fair few every year.
Well,
I don't need
more
any
now,
more.
Do you know
but her? If anyone would like to write to Tommy Tiernan at the Hen House from National
School. We're getting lots of stuff.
What kind of stuff? Anything
isn't
nice?
That a great
Anything
man?
Interesting?
We've got... So, people have sent us a lot of stuff for Christmas. People have sent us chocolates. I don't have the boxes here with me,
CBD
so I can't
oil.
Remember. Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah, hello. A little trial run to see if I like it.
Oh.
Oh, hello.
Just three little bottlings of CBD oil. So, I started taking one drop yesterday under your tongue, leave it there for 20 seconds and then doesn't taste great.
No.
It's CBD oil.
Yeah, there's
no crack in it.
We need the THC for that. Would you not get a little relaxing buzz off?
But the person that sent it to me didn't send me the relaxing buzz.
Oh, you don't know where it came from?
Well, I do. It's called some place in Navan or Meath or something.
Oh, Lord, you need to get more information. We'll have more information after the podcast.
Would you like some?
Yes.
I would like CBD
and THC.
Yes.
Right.
THC is the one that gets us giddy and laughter, and CBD is the one
that's good for the back.
CBD
pain.
Is the one we all lie in on the couch and I'll go, let's watch a bit of the afternoon show. Laugh.
Yeah, the CBD oil doesn't do anything, really. It's just health benefits.
Yes.
I'd love to go on the Today Show with Doherty and Maura out of it.
On what? On what exactly?
Just space
cakes. You'd be like, whoa!
You're getting a bit close. I'd love you just to walk on and just start picking up props and putting them down and rubbing me head and they're trying to
Lying
talk
on
to
the
me.
Couch.
Who did I see on
and I've got my head between my knees and they're going, join us after the break.
Tommy,
are you all right? I'm looking at my hands moving through the air, watching the vapour trails my fingers are leaving behind.
Who did I see on
BBC?
I'll
be over with the chef then, eating the buns.
There's been a few accounts of that. I saw your man from The Verve, Richard Ashcroft, on BBC TV at 8:30 in the morning. He was out of it from the night before. It's brilliant.
What other presents did we get, Tommy? Because I interrupted you that I told you we got CBD.
So someone is... I feel people are sending us stuff and thank you very much for sending stuff, but there's no...
Stop saying that every time because then it doesn't matter. Just say thanks and move on.
But I don't want them to send any more is what I'm saying to you.
Right, well why? What did you get?
Because there's just loads of stuff.
It's fine. Send it on. It's grand. Come on.
So there's whiskey and chocolates and hats and all that jazz is coming. But I feel as if when people are sending stuff, they want me to mention the brand that I sent it or the mention
of
the
people. No, I think they're just sending it for out of kindness.
Are they?
So we'll use all that stuff for a Christmas party. I know, instead of having a Christmas presents, let's just get drunk on the podcast.
Well, can we go for...
Like have a Christmas party.
Could we go for a morning porter? Could we go for a morning porter one morning on the podcast and just... Or just go and then come back and do the podcast.
I'd say we'd probably just
have
it here.
2 pints of stout and then come back and do it.
No.
No? Oh,
no,
we'll
just do it in a pub.
Are we buying presents for each other again?
I don't mind.
Because I think
we should. What would you like for Christmas, Hector?
No, don't tell me. I brought you presents from my travel.
Trivels.
I brought presents for you. Jesus, so I have presents from...
So you're all great now. You've got fucking sorted.
Oh, you've got them already.
No,
yeah. You've given us cans of beer.
It shows that when I am walking the streets of Belgrade, I'm thinking of
us.
I'm thinking of you all the time.
Yeah, and Tommy gave him a pipe.
You can have that pipe now. I bought that pipe. Look, see the top.
Yeah, it's all chewed.
It's all chewed at the top.
Disgusting. Yeah. Oh, I hate the smell of pipes. Okay, let's have presents then. Okay, let's do it.
I think you promised not to get me one of them jumpers.
I promise now. I'm definitely getting
you one. Can I say to you, could we buy a donkey? And
fuck off.
So we'll have them here. We can have them outside the hen house.
No, they make awful noise. And they're smelly bastards. No.
I've been asked by someone that I love very much to get them an animal for Christmas.
An animal?
Yeah.
The donkey.
A dog?
No. The donkey. No.
A horse?
No. Yeah, type of horse.
Yes!
A race horse.
I can't wait for this.
A race horse.
An elephant.
Not a race horse.
It's a donkey.
But what do you mean a type of horse?
It's a type of horse.
A show jumping horse.
No.
We're not. That's posh. We're going down the route.
A Connemara pony.
I know Tommy was taken back by the chat we had a couple of weeks ago. And I know he knows that we know.
You're not getting a donkey.
Yes. I'm not getting a donkey. I've been asked by someone I love to get them an animal for Christmas. And it's a type of horse.
Yes.
What is it?
It's a little piebald.
Palomino.
Connemara pony.
You're getting close, but you're
Connemara.
Smaller than that.
A palomino, a tiny little.
Smaller than that.
It's a pygmy pony.
It's smaller than that.
It couldn't be. Then it'll be.
It's a falabella.
Oh, a falabella, yeah.
A falabella. I've been asked by someone that I adore to get them a falabella for Christmas.
Where are you going to keep them? Here in the garden?
And you just keep them in the garden. And I said, what do you do with them? He said, you build them little miniature stables.
And miniature troughs.
Yeah, and they eat out of it. And I said, what if we head off somewhere for a week? And he said, you just leave it here in the garden.
They just eat it, eat stuff.
Tommy, there's plenty of grass out here. A little falabella, and I seriously consider, I think we should.
The dog we have would be bigger than the falabella.
Yeah, and we'll add a donkey in there. It'll become a sanctuary.
How do you think they would get on, do you think, the dog?
I don't know. I'm just
are you going to go for it?
I don't know.
What happens when they start
riding? When the dog would ride the falabella?
Yeah. What would they produce? There'd
be a few interesting trips to the vet after that.
Hard to wrap a falabella under the tree on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Why don't you just tie the falabella to the door on Christmas morning?
We've a lot of people in the show jumping horsey world that listen to the podcast, so I'm pretty sure there'll be no issue there in sourcing a good one for you.
Interesting. Are we doing this thing? Are we going to get each other a present?
Yes, Hector, yes.
Agreed. Thank you. Just a few house rules. Good. We'll open
what day will we be doing that?
The Thursday before Christmas is the last Thursday.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
Well, all right. Oh, my God.
All right. And majority, €25. That's our budget.
Minimum.
It was a max. Between 25 and 50.
Have a bit of crack.
Okay, like 25.
You have to spend a
25
grand.
25 and
5. Yeah, I have to spend a grand.
Right.
Oh, great. Okay. I'll be able to buy you one of these jumpers then, Tommy, after
minimum all. Spend on the present is €1,000 to €2,000.
Okay, great. Brilliant.
I've got 3 first class tickets to Bucharest.
Buy me a share in a racehorse. I'd love that.
We'd be drinking cans in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Maddest thing ever. Right, we were doing the podcast there about 5 weeks ago talking about girlfriends and I spoke...
Beautiful Nav.
Yes.
The old Nav.
Yeah, sorry. Girls we remembered when we knew them as teenagers and that they were beautiful and therefore, in a weird way, in a wonderful way, they'll always be beautiful.
And that is
beautiful in our minds.
And 2 days later, an email comes in looking for a birthday request out of the blue. To the thlpod.com.
Yes.
And it was the husband of the girl I was talking to. Completely random. He wanted a video to say shout out to that girl. And I started, oh Jesus Christ, what about timing? And then he heard the podcast a week later.
And then
emailed again. He went, we're absolutely over the moon. She is so embarrassed about the whole thing. This is fantastic.
Who was the girl again?
Carol, we can't give any names.
Carol who? Tell me the situation, I'll remember it.
Yeah, the girl that I shifted in an extension on Boreen Keel.
And yeah, do you remember you used to call
her?
She was mad
and she had Doc Martens and she was in a band. She used to sing.
And then he had to leave
She was the lead singer in a band called the Something Something and the Third Party. And...
Her husband
emailed me on the Tuesday and I was going, oh fuck, I'm going to get shot in Super Value. Someone's going to stab me when I get in Donegal Catch. Take that for talking to me, missus. You fucking... So 2 days after, and that show hadn't broadcast, Because I was sent the email and I went, oh my God, oh my God, what am I doing here? Did we say anything bad? But, and then they heard the podcast and the girl, Carol, was completely, completely bowled over.
Yes, you never lost it, Hector. She still had that ability. She was embarrassed. Still have the ability to bowl women
embarrassed
over.
Embarrassed and bowled
she,
over.
She was bowled over, but she. And then it said, "I'll get the line email." She said that you spoke as always you did, and the crack that you had, you've never lost it, and you were so attractive. And she was so attractive.
Did you write it or did she write?
She said this was the guy that she knew all those years ago.
Did she say you were good looking?
And I know that I'm still that fucking Hector around the fucking town in Navan. When I was the lead singer of Vita Bissex, I was cock of the fucking walk.
Could have rode anybody on Trimgate Street. He really could.
I felt as if I was half sister. Sisters of Mercy, half the Mission, half the Cult, and then I was the lead singer of Echo and the Bunnymen, and I had everything: tight jeans, Chelsea boots, paisley shirt, 3 buttons open, lovely ginger chest cigarette, and the long hair, and I was the lead singer in Oedipus X, the greatest Cult band ever.
You were like a cross between Mick Hucknall and Mick Hutchins.
No, Tommy, I was like a cross between Mick Hutchins.
Which one? Mick Hucknall.
Mick Hucknall and
Henry Shefflin. No, you were a cross between Mick Hucknall
and Robert Smith
and Cyndi Lauper
and Robert Smith.
Who's your one from T'Pau?
Robert
Carol from T'Pau.
What was our big single? T'Pau.
It doesn't matter. T'Pau.
T'Pau. What was the name of the band? Your one came in to play the Electric Ireland stage in the Electric Picnic, and fucking Bonnie Tyler. What's the one about the fucking energy?
Bonnie Tyler.
No, what's that? The song, The Power of Love.
Oh, Jennifer Rush.
Yeah. Or somebody came in. And
Bonnie Tyler.
I need a man and a hero to the end of the line, and he's gotta be strong, and he's gotta be real, and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I say I'm running out for a hero till the end of time. Somebody like that was playing the Electric Ireland tent because of the lyrics of the song, and somebody off his fucking head out the back went with all his amazing YouTube video. He went, there'll be some fucking crack in here whenever we pull the power on the electric, and he pulled all the fucking things. And she's on stage. True story in the video.
Actually,
and the boys were out of it at the back on the electric guy on the tent. Now, power of love me bollocks, watch this. Brilliant. Classic. But anyway, yes, I got that email in and she said that she will never.
Well, happy birthday.
She'll never forget the H-bomb. H-bomb.
I will leave you with this.
H-block.
When I saw men in their pomp, young, virile young men, you're sitting beside one of the greatest men in his pomp to walk the streets of Navan, because he could just go like that. Tommy Tiernan.
Oh yeah, the Buck Rogers of
Hector
Navan.
In behind. Lord.
God bless. Good luck. Talk to you next time.
Intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.